Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you today here in God's house. My family and I will be back with you. We were with you sometime, I think, 1st of January, and so it is a joy to be here today. I'm honored that Pastor David would ask me to fill in for him. I am humbled by that. He is just a great man. He is doing so much, and he is just one of a fine pastor in our association, and we appreciate him and your church for your support of our association. That just means the world to us. I grew up in Statesville, North Carolina, and I've been in Davidson County for about 19 years. I was pastor at Center Hill Baptist for 19 years before becoming full-time with the association last summer. So I went to Mars Hill College, got my BA and my MDiv at Gardner-Webb Divinity School. My wife and I have been married for almost 26 years, and we have two children, Braden and McKenna. Braden's a senior at Central High. McKenna's a seventh grader at Central Middle, so we're glad to be here today. Choir, beautiful job. Wonderful. I'm going to give them another hand. I thought that the music this morning, I love the Lenten candles. That really, I had never seen that done, and so I really just love that. So this is as we begin the Lenten season, and very special season as we prepare the 6 weeks before Easter, before Holy Week, of course, and so it is a very special time. You know, there are 50 states in America. And if I asked you to name each one offhand, you might could, maybe you couldn't. But I want you to think about how many states you lived in. For me, that's only one state. I only lived here in North Carolina. But think about how many states that you have visited. I think as I thought about this, I think I have visited 10. But so what does each state have in common? A governor. A governor is the leader of the state, the elected head of the state. And we have a new one here in North Carolina, and I'm grateful that he did visit the Baptist on mission sites in Western North Carolina not too long ago. But if I asked you to name all 50 governors, I think we'd probably all struggle with that, and I know I would. I live in a den of lions. Okay, maybe not a lion's den, but a cat den. We have three cats in our home, and sometimes you do feel like you're in a lion's den when you're with them, but I'm just kidding. They're great cats, but they never scare us. But have you ever seen or been in a real lion's den? You know, you've probably never been in a lion's den, but maybe you've been just over the road, down the road here at the North Carolina Zoo, where they have a lion's den. And I love seeing those lions there at that NC Zoo. And that's just one of my favorite places to see at the zoo. Well, today I want to share with you a great story of faith that we find in the Old Testament. You've already heard the scripture read this morning. The story is of Dan in the den, as I like to call it. Daniel in the lion's den. So let me give you a little background on Daniel. First of all, his name comes from the Hebrew meaning God is my judge. The name of Daniel is very appropriate for one who chose to please God rather than man, because Daniel, as we all see, as we know about Daniel, he's about pleasing God. Second, Daniel was born in Jerusalem, but taken captivity to Babylon as a young man. Daniel was born in a noble family there in Jerusalem, but taken captivity, as we said, and was brought to Babylon. He and the several other captives were selected as young men without physical defect, looking good, looking suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving the king's palace, and were trained for 3 years before officially beginning their jobs as servants of the king. And then third, Daniel and his friends were faithful in their work and faithful to God. From the earliest days in Babylon, Daniel and his companions Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were characterized by simultaneously faithfulness in their duties and faithfulness to God. So our text this morning is Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 through 22. I'm going to read that again. Dennis did a great job reading that earlier, and I don't want to read that again to you this morning. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." And a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. And at first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty." So King Darius, if you were to go back to look at the beginning of this chapter, King Darius appointed 3 administrators over the 120 satraps. Now, the satraps are like governors. That's why I mentioned about the governors. Well, the satraps are like governors, perhaps similar to our governors today. And one administrator was Daniel. And so the satraps, they were accountable to the governor, to the administrators, so that the king might not suffer loss. Daniel was distinguished among the other administrators that the king planned to set in part to be in charge of the whole kingdom. The other administrators and the satraps, they didn't like that one bit. Oh my goodness. It irritated them. It made them mad. Oh, they had to be jealous that the king was setting him apart. Well, so they decided to find charges against Daniel in regards to the government dealings. However, there was nothing they could come up with. Daniel was innocent. He was faultless. There was no corruption in Daniel whatsoever. They could not, because he was a trustworthy guy. He was just a good guy. He was not negligent or corrupt. He was just a good guy, as I said. He was a good administrator. These men said, "We will never find anything wrong that Daniel does. We will find no charges against him unless it has something to do with God, unless it has something to do with the law of God." That's what the fellas thought. If it's something with God's law, then we can find some fault in him and bring some charges against him. We can bring him down. That's what they're thinking. These new men knew Daniel well. They knew that they could not trap him into evil, but they also knew that he would be faithful to his God in all circumstances. So they're out to bring him down in regards to God. So the administrators and the satraps, together they went to the king. And they said, "King Darius, may you live forever," which was a greeting to the king. We administrators, we officers, we satraps, advisors, governors, we have all agreed that you could come up with a proclamation enforcing that anyone who prays to any god or any human being during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. In other words, they shall be punished. First of all, they're lying, right? Because not all the administrators agreed to that. Of course they lied when they said they all consulted together. It was a lie because Daniel was one of those administrators. And he wasn't consulted. Daniel didn't get consulted, which was the whole point, to frame him and bring him down. And so they urged the king to do this, put it in writing so that it cannot be repealed or altered. So the king did it. He issued a decree that no one could pray to any god or human being except to him as king for the next 30 days. Now the question I have is, did he not think about Daniel? Did the king not think about Daniel? Did he not realize that Daniel was a man of faith and that he would struggle with this? So Daniel learned about the decree, the law that had been published. You know what he did? He went home to his upstairs room, the upper room, and the windows were open to Jerusalem, and he prayed. He prayed 3 times a day on his knees. Now, the number 3 is very interesting in Scripture. I got to think about that this week. I've been thinking about that in recent weeks. You got the three crosses, Jesus in the middle cross between the two criminals. And then Jesus arose on the third day. And then you got the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, here Daniel prays three times a day on his knees, giving thanks to God, praising God, exactly as he had done before. He did what Jesus did. He prayed. Someone said God had only one son who lived without sin, but he had no sons who have lived without prayer. Jesus was constantly in prayer. We've been thinking about Jesus. This is the season as we focus on the cross, as we always focus on the cross, but as we draw closer to what Jesus went through on the cross for our sins. And so Jesus was constantly in prayer. He prayed before he ate. He prayed before great decisions. And then he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Sometimes Jesus prayed all night. And Jesus lived the most beautiful life that's ever been lived by a human being. And he did this by saturating his life with prayer. Well, Daniel, this man of faith, saturated his life in prayer. Well, these men, these administrators, these troublemakers went together as a group, and they found Daniel praying, asking God for help. They found him guilty of prayer, just as they had planned, just as they had told the king to make this prayer declaration. And aren't you glad today that no one makes that prayer declaration? Aren't you glad that no one says you cannot pray to God for 30 days? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? And I hope all of us would say, I hope all of us would do what Daniel did. I hope all of us would pray. I'm sure just this good church would do that. You would say, we don't care. We're going to pray to God. Then they went back to the king, and immediately they said, didn't you say that no one should pray for 30 days? Didn't you make that decree that if they prayed, they would be thrown in the lions? And yes, Daniels. Yes, the king said, yes. That's what I said. That's what the law says. It can't be repealed. It can't be undone. Well, guess what, king? We found someone who's broke that law. You know who it is? It's Daniel. Daniel has paid no attention to your law. He still prays three times a day. He disobeyed your law. He's been disobedient to you, king. And the king heard this, and he was saddened and stressed out. Not at Daniel, because he thought the world of Daniel. He thought a lot of Daniel. And perhaps the king at that point thought, I blew it. I should have never made that law. That's what I assume the king would be thinking. So the king, as we see, the king is determined to rescue Daniel. And he did his best until sundown to save him. The men went back to King Darius and said, no, don't think so. You can't change that law. According to law, it cannot be unchanged. So as we look there at verse 16, as we look at this text today, the king had no choice but to give the order. They brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lion's den, a pit, implying that it's underground. The king said to Daniel, may your kingdom you serve and are faithful to continually watch after you, rescue you, and save you, protect you. Now, no doubt Daniel was afraid to be there among those bunch of lions. I mean, that had to be scary. The lions would be chasing him, right? I will never forget my first or second year in Lexington. Our VBS director, Miss Glenda, sweetest lady, one of the most wonderful lady, we were out passing out VBS flyers on Spartan Drive in Lexington over in our area of the central area. And I went up to this one house, and there was a dog. And it started growling at me. And then it started chasing me. And I ran back to Miss Glenda's van as fast as I could. I was so scared. I have never forgotten that. Me and Miss Glenda, we get a kick out of that every time we sit back and think about that. And that's been almost 18 years. 19 years ago. That had to be Daniel in that lion's den. Very scared. Daniel was placed in that den. A stone was placed over the opening of the den, and the king sealed it shut with his own ring and with that of the governor, so that of the government, so that no one could rescue Daniel from the lion's den. King went back to the palace. He was so worried that he could not eat, could not sleep. He had insomnia. I can understand that. I've had some insomnia in recent weeks, and he didn't want any company. He just wanted to be by himself. You know, we've all experienced that. None of us we've been in a lion's den. But we've been so worried about something such as a test, anticipating test, medical test, waiting on results from a test, or maybe a test you had to take in school, or worried about someone, a loved one, a parent, grandparent, a cousin, aunt, uncle, a dear friend, that we had no appetite, not want any food, that we didn't want to be around anyone, we just wanted to be by ourselves, and that we couldn't get off the circumstance off our mind, and that we couldn't sleep. The king had Daniel on his mind, so worried about what was going to happen there in the lion's den. He was worried sick about Daniel. What a long night for the king. Worried about Daniel, because what a long night for Daniel. But what a long night for the king. Next morning, early the next morning, at dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. You know, it's sort of, there's some resurrection tones in there as well, right? As you think about early on Easter morning, the people ran. The women were going to the tomb, and then the men went to see the empty tomb, as they were told. And it was empty. So we can imagine the king running fast, and I will not run for you this morning. Don't want to run in church. But anyway. But we can imagine running fast, perhaps running. And when he was near to Daniel, he called out in a loud voice, basically these words, "Daniel, are you okay? Are you okay, Daniel? Has Daniel, servant of God, has your God whom you always serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? Was God, whom you always worship, able to save you? Are you okay, Daniel? Has God protected you and rescued you from lions?" And what was the response? The response was, "May the king live forever," which was the standard way of greeting the king, as we said earlier. "My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not eaten me. I am okay. I survived because of God. God saved me." You know, there's the reality show Survivor. It's where a group of strangers are put on Fiji Island. It's been around for about 48 seasons since 2000. And they must obtain food. They must obtain fire. They're given flint if they earn it. And then they have to provide shelter from themselves. And then they compete in physical challenges, testing their physical ability like swimming and running. And then their mental ability like puzzles and then endurance challenges. For rewards and immunity from elimination. And the contestants are one by one every 3 days eliminated from the game as they are voted out by their fellow contestants until one is remaining and becomes the sole survivor and is awarded the prize of $1 million. Now there's a new show out called Extracted where 12 people are placed out in the wilderness and family members are watching them on camera from like a bunker area or headquarters, and the family members decide whether to extract the family members from the game because they are experiencing so much turmoil. And the object is to see who can survive the longest, and whoever survives the longest wins $250,000. And yes, you can say those two shows are about surviving. However, Daniel surviving the lion's den is the ultimate survivor because he survived because of God. Daniel said to the king, "For I was innocent in the sight of God. I have not done anything to hurt you. I am innocent. I have not committed any crime." And the king was so happy. He was so full of joy that Daniel was okay. He was so happy that God shut the mouths of the lions. And he ordered that Daniel be retrieved from the lion's den And when that happened, he came out of the lion's den, and there was not one scratch on him. Not one single scratch, not one single bruise, not anything on Daniel from being in that lion's den. Now, we've all experienced scrapes, scratches, and bruises. You may experience one sometime this week. But Daniel, and Daniel experienced those, but not there in the lion's den, for God protected him. Now, the question is why? Why was Daniel left unharmed? Because he trusted God. Trust. Trust, trust, trust. He had great faith in God that he would protect him from the lions as he was in the lion's den. And God did that very thing. God did it. God protected Daniel. What incredible miracle of God that Dan in the den, a pit of lions underground, and God through the angel, shutting the mouths of the lions, allowing no harm whatsoever to Daniel. As one commentary says, the people saw that he was completely unharmed because he trusted God. Dan in the den trusted God. What a testimony of the faithfulness of God that protected Daniel, and what a testimony of the faith of Daniel that he trusted God to protect him. Now, another commentator says Daniel's faithfulness to God got him in trouble in accordance with the law. However, his faith in God got him out of it. His great faith and trust was superior to the crooked law. Yes, the law said not to pray, but the law was based out of spite by the other administration governors because they knew how faithful that Daniel was to God. Praise God for how Daniel stayed true and faithful to God. Praise God for his faithfulness to the Lord. For God, Daniel showed his faith, being bold in faith, even after the crooked law was made. It would have been easy for Daniel to say, okay, I'm not going to pray for 30 days. But no, Daniel stayed true and faithful to God, even in the midst of this crooked law. Now, what happened to the men who were accused by Daniel, the ones who tried to bring him down? Well, the king commanded them to be brought before them and thrown into the lion's den themselves. So they go into the lion's den, get this, along with their wives and children. Now, that's awful that the wives and children are put in there. Sadly, bad happened to them all before they reached the floor of the lion's den, for the lions overpowered them all. The entire families of the wicked conspirators were killed because the Persians, like the Hebrews and other Semites, considered guilt a collective responsibility. One's guilty, they're all guilty, especially in families. That's what happened. Now, did the schemers, the men, not realize that what would happen to their families? If all this backfired on them, if they were thrown in the lion's den, if the king would punish them, who knows? So the chapter concludes, King Darius sent the message to all people of every nation, raised these words, "Greetings to all of you. I command everyone in the name of my kingdom to worship and honor the God of Daniel. He is the living God, the one who lives forever. His kingdom and his power will never end. He rescues his people and sets them free by working great miracles." Daniel's God has rescued him from the power of the lions. And so the king made a law now to worship and honor God and have faith in him, faith in God, just as he has done for Daniel in the lion's den. Friends, Daniel had faith that he was in control of his life, that God was in control of his life. That's why he prayed. You pray trusting in the Lord to work in your life. I thought about that this week. There was a coach for the NFL Jets, New York Jets, years ago, and I will never forget this. This was back in the 90s, and he said, "You play to win the game." That's what Herm Edwards said. Well, you pray trusting for God to work in your life. That's why you pray. You pray for God to work in your life. You pray for God to hear you. You pray because you desire a relationship with God, and you trust him and you believe in him. Daniel also prayed that God would protect him as he was there in that lion's den. Daniel was all about pleasing God, honoring him, having complete faith and trust in him. For when we have faith in the Lord, we should pray as Daniel did. We should be people of prayer as Daniel was, and we should have the faith and assurance that God is in control and that he will protect us and watch after us, just as Daniel did. When we are in our own lion's dens, our own times of trouble, our own times of despair, times when we're scared, times we are worried, we must trust our God to close the mouths of the lions that want to hurt us and bring us down. Trust God, just as Daniel did. Be people of great faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, as Proverbs 3:5 says. Dan in the den definitely did. He trusted God with all his heart. In this season of Lent, may, as we draw closer to the cross, may we decide that we're going to trust God more, right? We're going to trust God just as Dan did. May we follow in his steps, following the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.